Fillmore Street. This is CamilleBot.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight near Alamo Square in sunny San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 19th of March, 2015. On this date in 1279, a Mongolian victory at the Battle of Yamen ends the Song Dynasty in China. 1918, the U.S. Congress establishes time zones and approves daylight savings time. 1931, Nevada, or as they say in Nevada, Nevada, legalizes gambling. 1941, the 99th Pursuit Squadron, also known as the Tuskegee Airmen, first all-black unit of the U.S. Army Air Corps, is activated. 1957, Elvis puts down the first down payment on Graceland. 1962, the Algerian War of Independence from France ends. 2003, the U.S. invasion of Iraq begins. Birthdays today are cop Wyatt Earp, explorer David Livingstone, jurist Earl Warren, architect Albert Speer, murderer Adolf Eichmann, theologian Hans Kung, author Philip Roth, actress Ursula Andress, and guy's guy Bruce Willis. Today is Kashubian Unity Day in Poland. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. Thanks for posting on the forum. I was corrected by Will. Free Georgia has nothing to do with UNM, but rather with Kakakukaba. Sorry about that. Some criticism of the concept of decibels in the new noise law. A lot of information there. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to fieldpod.com or send us an email at fieldpod@gmail.com. On the 15th of March, Tbilisi City Court accepted the prosecution's motion and ordered the pretrial detention of former mayor of Tbilisi, Guy Ugolava, who is already in pretrial detention. The day before, on the 14th of March, the prosecutor's office requalified criminal charges against Ugolava concerning charges involving the illegal seizure of assets owned by tycoon Badri Patrikatsvili in November 2007. Same charges were also intensified against former defense minister Dato Kezadashvili. By making the criminal charges against Ugolava graver, it allows for the prosecution to seek an extension to his pretrial detention. Ugolava has been in pretrial detention since July 2014 on separate money laundering charges. 9 months is the maximum term for pretrial detention in a single case. There's no limit on the number of cases that could be brought against somebody, as the government certainly knows. Ugolava's term for pretrial detention was set to expire in early April. UNM has been suggesting in recent weeks that the prosecutor's office would resort to this method to keep Ugolava behind bars. And they were, of course, correct. Similar tactic was used by the prosecution against ex-defense minister and former prison chief Bacho Ahalaya, who was arrested in November 2012 and whose pretrial detention was extended several times by gradually adding new charges against him before he was sentenced to 7.5 years in jail in October 2014. U.S. Embassy in Georgia said that it was concerned by the requalified criminal charges against Ugolava and that, quote, it appears to be an effort to subvert the nine-month limit on pretrial detention, end quote, and continues, quote, we encourage the government of Georgia to take steps to strengthen the rule of law and avoid any perception that it may be engaging in a campaign of politically motivated justice, end quote. As a reminder, Misha and former Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili are also facing criminal charges in the same case related to the 2007 events, ranging from breaking up anti-government protests on the 7th of November to raiding and seizing the Imedi TV offices. Gogi Topadze, leader of the party Metrelebi, or Industry Will Save Georgia, which is part of the Georgian Dream Coalition, said that for Georgia, quote, joining NATO right now may bring problems, end quote. He said that joining NATO doesn't have to be a priority for Georgia because the alliance doesn't plan to accept Georgia yet, and it also brings problems for the country to join NATO now. Topadze continued that neither the U.S. nor Russia will protect its own allies, so it's better to be neutral and just develop the economy. Topadze is the owner of the Georgian beer brand Kazbegi. He also said it would be economically more beneficial for Georgia to join the Russian-led Eurasia Economic Union. Yeah, ask the Kyrgyz and everyone in Central Asia about that, like the Kazakhs. Some members of the Georgian Dream Coalition have distanced themselves from Topadze, saying that he was expressing his personal views. Also, in an interview with Tabula, Topadze mused that maybe Georgia should follow the example of some other countries and ban certain NGOs. It was supposedly said in reference to Georgian Young Lawyers or Gyla writing about Ugolava Ugulava's case and calling it politically motivated. This is an interesting thing because this started with Bidzina, and it's a good way to have Bidzina Ivanishvili's influence illustrated in that, you know, random government officials seem to pick up this annoyance with NGOs and run with it, including people like Topadze, who've been involved for politics for a long time and have sort of gotten used to NGOs as a part of the landscape. But all of a sudden, BI says that there's a problem with them, and it seems to be an easy way for him to illustrate loyalty or, you know, be alongside of the fearless leader. On the 18th of March, Russia and South Ossetia signed a treaty on alliance and integration in Moscow. It was signed by President Putin and South Ossetian leader Leonid Tibilov. Georgia's foreign ministry condemned the treaty as the actual annexation of the region by Russia. As a note, Russia's annexation of Crimea was exactly 1 year before, on the 18th of March, 2014. Putin said after the meeting with Tibilov that the implementation of the treaty, quote, is backed by serious financial resources and that about 1 billion rubles will be allocated to it in 2016. 1 billion rubles equating on today's spot market about $340 US. Tibilov thanked Putin for his huge assistance and added that the people of South Ossetia owe you, although a large portion of them, particularly the opposition, are now in exile in North Ossetia. He invited Putin to Shkenvali for a ceremony marking the 25th anniversary of the formation of the Republic of South Ossetia on the 20th of September. The United States and the European Union said on the eve of the signing of the treaty that they do not recognize its legitimacy. One thing about all that money supposedly coming into to Shkenvali is that they've not had good luck in having that money actually hit the ground. And I think that that was one of the reasons for the problems in 2008, that, you know, the Georgians were spending a lot of money building clinics and handing out cash and doing all sorts of different things. And the Russians sort of tried to keep up, but it would all just disappear once it would get into the pockets of the Kakabizhny Gibi they had running the place. So I don't know if it'll be any better now. On Sunday, the 15th of March, Georgian Dream supporters held protest rallies outside the UNM's Udidi office in Samegrelo region. Several people were injured as a result of clashes. A few dozen people, among them officials and employees of local self-government bodies in Udidi, gathered outside the UNM office to protest their plan to hold a rally in Tbilisi on the 21st of March. Georgian Dream activists then moved to a building where there is the office of a pro-UNM group. Pro-government protesters, some with sticks, burst into the building and were shattering glass doors. After the protesters returned back to the UNM office, where another confrontation broke out and people were throwing stones, police were present but failed to prevent the incidents. The party Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia released a written statement accusing UNM of staging provocation and asked their supporters not to yield to such provocations, called on the police to investigate the incident. There's been a public outcry following screenings attended by school students in western Georgia of an anti-UNM video which has very graphic images of violence. The screenings were organized by a pro-government group called All Generations for Georgia. The 16-minute video, Saakashvili's Bloody Regime, shows inhuman treatment of prison inmates. The screening started in Batumi on the 12th of March and continued in towns in the Samegrelo region, including Udidi, Poti, Khobi, and Senaki. According to some reports, several school principals were instructed by local educational resource centers and the Ministry of Education to send teachers and pupils to the screenings. Some attendees said that the local self-government officials organized minibuses to bring people to the screening locally. One school pupil told a local TV station in Udidi that she and her classmates were told by their teacher to attend the event that neither they nor their teacher knew what it was about. Several other students in other towns said that they were misled there as they were told that the event was about presenting new projects in their town. In a joint statement released on the 16th of March, a group of human rights groups, including GILA, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, and ISFED condemned the screenings and the presence of school pupils. They said that it was a violation of children's rights and the state failed to provide the protection of the children from information and material injurious to their well-being and to mental health. They also said that the involvement of people from local government and educational institutions showed the use of administrative resources for election political purposes and contradicts the goal of ensuring the independence of public schools from political groups. Finally, they said that, quote, it is impossible to develop a country and a democratic society through such manipulation, as well as through sowing more aggression and hatred, end quote. Prime Minister Garibashvili responded that he does not welcome that minors were involved, but that there was the possibility of a provocation of UNM to discredit the authorities. Are we noticing a pattern here? After a series of media reports on the issue over the weekend, the Ministry of Education said that it has launched a probe into the reported role of its educational resource centers in organizing the presence of school pupils at those screenings. Huh. There was a reshuffle in Tbilisi City Hall leadership last week. The first Deputy Economy Minister, Dmitry Kumtsishvili, was nominated for the post of Vice Mayor in Tbilisi. Kumtsishvili was Deputy Director General of BI's Kartu Bank from 1999 to 2011. Nomination now requires confirmation from the Tbilisi City Council, where Georgian Dream Coalition holds a majority seat. The incumbent vice mayor will become chairman of Tbilisi City Municipality, newly planned Center for Promoting Entrepreneurship. The agency has been criticized that it conflicts with the government's declared policy of cutting administrative spending. Its estimated budget is 2 million lari annually. On the 12th of March, Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania cited the need to increase efficiency of City Hall as a reason behind the reshuffle. In other charges, Narmania nominated Irakli Lekvinadze as new deputy mayor. Lekvinadze is co-owner of the fruit juice company Levo. Other deputy mayors are retaining their posts. Narmania appointed a new head of Tbilisi City Hall's administration and nominated a new head of Tbilisi's municipal transport service. He nominated Lasha Abashidze as the new head of Vake District, since the previous head of Vake was appointed as governor of Imereti in late February. On the 12th of March, U.S. President Obama nominated a new ambassador to Georgia, career diplomat Ian C. Kelly. He will replace Richard Norlin in the summer of 2015, who's been serving in Tbilisi since September 2012. Kelly has been in the Foreign Service for about 30 years, served as a State Department spokesman in 2009-2010, and was the U.S. ambassador to the OSCE in 2010-2013. He also served as co-chair of the Minsk Group on Nagorno-Karabakh conflict resolution in 2013. A NATO survey team is visiting Georgia this week to elaborate proposals over the location and operation of the planned Joint Training and Evaluation Center. As a reminder, the center is one of the main components of the substantial package of cooperation NATO endorsed for Georgia at the Wales Summit in September 2014. William Lahue, the head of NATO liaison office in Georgia, elaborated that the assessment mission, the team was starting a process which would lead to discussions about location, detailed mission, and the organization's standard operating procedures of the planned Joint Training and Evaluation Center. The NATO survey team is led by Norway and includes officers from Latvia, Lithuania, Denmark, and Germany. It's also supported by the U.S. and the NATO staff. Lahu said that other NATO teams are also expected to visit Georgia in the coming weeks and months for the implementation of other components of the substantial package. President of Georgia, Turkey, and Azerbaijan agreed to start construction of a natural gas pipeline through the three countries. A groundbreaking ceremony was held in Kars, Turkey, on the 17th of March, and attended by Turkish President Erdogan, President Mark Velashvili, and President of Azerbaijan, Ilham Aliyev. The Trans-Anatolia Natural Gas Pipeline, a.k.a. TANAP, is meant to connect the gas fields in the Caspian Sea with European consumers. There's already a pipeline from Baku through Georgia and ending in Ceyhan in Turkey. Another consortium is building the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline from Kipoi, Greece, to Sanfoka, Italy. Project will be completed in 2018. The new TANAP pipeline will connect these two. Projected cost is $10 to $11 billion, and the completion date is stipulated for 2018. The planned capacity of the pipeline is 16 billion cubic meters, with the potential to be increased to 23 billion cubic meters by 2023. And to 31 billion cubic meters by 2026. TANAP is owned by Azerbaijan state energy company Sokar with 58%, Turkish state company Botas with 30%, and BP with 12%, or I guess eventually ExxonMobil once they buy BP, and they'll take it over. On the evening of Sunday, the 15th of March, BI appeared live on his new political commentary show 2030 on GDS TV, the channel run by his son Bera. The show aired at 8:30 p.m. and lasted about an hour and a half. Along with BI, there was economic analyst Nodar Chichanadze and journalist Katie Chocheli, both members of the NGO Society 2030. He explained that Society 2030 will protect people from falling for UNM propaganda, which he said is all over TV. He spoke about the importance of people perceiving reality correctly, and that today's media is completely free from pressure by the government, but the influence of the owners is a different subject. BI spent a lot of time criticizing the UNM, both the party and the government it ran for 9 years, and spoke positively about the performance of the current government. On the 6th of March, Energy Minister Kahi Khaladze met with Abkhazia's Minister of Energy and Transport to discuss ongoing and planned rehabilitation works of the Inguri hydropower plant. They met in Gali in Abkhazia. The generators of the Inguri Dam are located on the Abkhaz side in the village of Siberio in Gali District, and its arch dam is located on the Georgian-controlled territory. According to a long-standing informal agreement between Tbilisi and Suchumi, 40% of the electricity generated by the plant goes to Abkhazia and the 60% to Georgia. The dam has a capacity of 1,300 megawatts. News about the meeting was first reported by the official Abkhaz news agency Opsny Press. Energy Minister Khaladze confirmed that he met with officials from the Abkhaz side and said that it was part of a very good cooperation in the energy sector between the two sides for many years already. Previously, when the issue of the Inguri Dam emerged in the Georgian Abkhaz media in mid-January 2015, the head of the Abkhaz energy company said they were negotiating with Tbilisi on the issue of ownership of the power plant. Georgian Energy Ministry has denied that. There'll be a by-election to elect a member of parliament in Mark Bealey single-mandate constituency in western Georgia, likely in October, after a UNM majoritarian lawmaker from the district died at age 68. The exact date of the election in Mark Bealey should be set by the Central Elections Commission no later than 2 months before the election day. In Mark Bealey, there are over 33,000 voters registered. Meanwhile, on the 18th of March, Parliament revoked the member of Parliament credentials of UNM lawmaker Kogi Ochiauri, who quit for health reasons. He is 88 years old. He'll be replaced by Lev Antarkhanishvili, who was chairman of the Central Elections Commission 2007 to 2010. Same day, Parliament approved the members of Parliament's credentials of UNM new lawmaker Eka Kherkheulidze, replacing Dato Sakhwarelidze, who lost his seat in Parliament after becoming Deputy General Prosecutor of Ukraine. The new members of Parliament did not require by-election since they replaced MPs who were elected through party list, proportional system, and not in majoritarian single-mandate constituencies. On the 17th of March, a lawyer from the law firm BGI, which is a top law firm and the one defending Misha and most of the top UNM defendants, David Kakuishvili, was beaten up near his house by members of the youth group Free Generation. Kakuishvili was a lawyer specifically handling the case filed by the Saakashvili Library against Free Generation for attacking the library and people earlier this month. Following up on the Zhvani case on the 16th of March, Levon Chachua, the forensic pathologist who carried out the post-mortem examination of former Prime Minister Zura Zhvania, was acquitted by Tbilisi City Court. Chachua was charged a year ago by the prosecution with neglect of official duties, claiming that he failed to carry out a thorough post-mortem examination. Chachua was arrested in March 2014 and released on bail in November after spending 8 months in pretrial detention. Sorry, Levon. President Margvelashvili's annual State of the Nation address in Parliament was rescheduled to the 31st of March from the 18th upon the President's request. As a reminder, President Margvelashvili said in January that he hopes the government members will not snub attending his annual address like they did the year before. Prime Minister Khadavashvili reiterated on the 16th of March that he doesn't deem it necessary for government members to be present. Yeah, thanks a lot, Khadavashvili. Appreciate that. Croatia completed ratification process of the Georgia-EU Association Agreement. The country's newly elected president signed the final document. Croatian Parliament ratified the document in December 2014, but it needed a presidential signature to come into force. Joint Georgia-U.S. military exercise Noble Partner will be held. God, where do they come up with these names? Will be held in Georgia at the Vaziani Airfield from the 1st to the 25th of May. According to the Defense Ministry, the maneuvers are aimed at bringing Georgian battalions closer to the NATO response force and to prepare preparation for future NATO operations and exercises. The EU proposed Georgia signing a new document, Strategic Framework for Customs Cooperation, on the 18th of March. It includes three main directions: a safe and flexible trade corridor, risk management, and investing in customs modernization. The document was signed by Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri and the European Commissioner for Economic and Financial Affairs, Taxation and Customs. Similar document has already come into force in Moldova and Ukraine. National Agency of Public Registry in Georgia, a.k.a. NAPR, has become a member of the European Land Information Services Association, a.k.a. EULIS. This means that NAPR website can now be on the EULIS website. EULIS provides subscribed land registry customers, such as banks, lenders, real estate agents, lawyers, with reliable, direct, and easy access to land and property information. So now it's possible for foreigners to have direct access to Georgia's official land register. The UNM has published accounts denoting that $181,400 lari was spent on furniture purchased by the Prime Minister for the 11th floor of the government administrative building since December 2014. That is after the financial crisis started. UNM lawmaker Irma Nadarishvili said Kharivashvili commissioned the furniture in Italy. She then called on every citizen to join the UNM rally in Tbilisi on the 21st of March. The government's administration responded that the furniture purchase was not for the Prime Minister, but for a new space intended to host high-level guests, and that the prices were reported are wrong. Is this how the UNM is trying to get people out on the streets, like $100,000 worth of furniture? The Georgian consul in Istanbul, Irakli Asashvili, was accused by a Turkish daily newspaper, Hurriyet, of beating a woman who works for him as a stylist and whom they reported he is in a relationship with. According to their interview with the woman, she and Asashvili got into an argument and he started yelling and then beating her in the face while at her home. The consul Asashvili denies the report and says that the woman is only his friend, they're on good terms, and that both he and she are concerned by the article. Hyatt Regency Hotel is set to open in Tbilisi in 2017. The 170-room hotel will be located in the former Ministry of Justice building on Rustaveli Avenue. The company Rustaveli Property will be responsible for building and managing it. The government of Sweden has allocated €1.5 million grant for Georgia's Public Service Development Agency to develop the quality of their services in both central and rural areas. The Japan International Cooperation Agency announced a plan to help Georgia develop its agricultural, tourism, and ecotourism sectors. They designed a regional development program in close cooperation with the Ministry of Agriculture. The idea is to implement a one village, one project concept in Georgia, which worked well in Japan. Georgian actor and singer Vahtan Kikabidze is applying for asylum in Ukraine. Apparently, he is a citizen of Russia and has expressed solidarity with Ukraine, according to a representative of Ukraine's Interior Ministry. It won't be a problem for him to get asylum status since Kikabidze is a big friend of Ukraine. Kikabidze also said that he knows all the former Georgian officials now serving in Ukraine and that they will help him. Vice Prime Minister and Minister of Energy Kakha Kaladze was recognized by the World Economic Forum as a young global leader. He's 37. A crime group consisting of 11 Georgians operating in Greece was exposed and caught by Greek police. They stand accused of robbery and armed robbery by looting homes. The women would work as housekeepers, mainly for elderly people, and then provide the men with information that they would use to rob the homes. Georgia has announced an international tender for a project worth almost 4 million lari to take an aerial photograph of the country. The tender is part of the Maps for Sustainable Land Management project by the National Public Registry, funded Norwegian mapping authority Statens Kartverk. Winning company must shoot a full aerial photograph of Georgia and then create an orthophotograph. An orthophotograph is an image that transfers a vertical aerial photograph into the equivalent of a traditional map while still retaining actual land features in the natural environment, rather than representing those features using symbols and lines. The Georgian Public Registry said the new project would significantly improve property rights, land planning, and land management, and would help for better response to natural disasters. Professional skier Nino Tsiklauri won bronze at the women's giant slalom race in Riederalm, Austria. Georgia's emergency hotline 112 is launching a new SMS and video call service for people with speech and hearing impairments. The new 24 24-hour, 7 days a week service will be available across the country from the 27th of March. Users will need to fill in a special registration form on www.112.ge first. Tbilisi is switching to energy-efficient outdoor lighting by using light-emitting diode, a.k.a. LED products. Reportedly, 100,000 lamps will be replaced with LED lights, which should save 70% of electricity and costs. According to a new report by the global rating agency Moody's, Georgia's economy will grow 3.5% in 2015. The Parliament's Health Committee has proposed an amendment to the law of Georgia on the rights of a patient that would allow teenagers aged 14 to 18 to get tested for HIV without consent from a parent or legal representative. Parents will not necessarily be informed that the test has been performed, and if the test comes back positive, the Ministry of Health would be the authoritative body to decide whether to enforce confidentiality or to notify the parents. The existing law states that all people under the age of 18 must have consent from a parent or legal representative before undergoing any kind of medical service. On the 17th of March, Parliament approved changes in the education law allowing children age 5 to go to school. Last year, it was changed that children can go to school only at age 6, but many families protested the law. The amendments were proposed by UNM members of Parliament. It'll take another 2 administrative hearings for the law to pass. On the 13th of March, the economy minister, finance minister, and head of the National Bank spoke at a hearing of the Parliamentary Committee for Economy and Finance. It was about the lari depreciation, the economic slowdown in Georgia, and lasted more than 5 hours. Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili reiterated that it was the result of external factors, but he also said the government made some mistakes, too. To deal with it, Kvitikashvili said the government is considering tax liberalization to improve the business climate. He said that the proposal will involve scrapping corporate income tax on reinvested profits. The details have yet to be elaborated. In the short term, it will have a negative impact on state coffers by a loss of about 700 to 800 million lari, but in the longer run, it should boost economic growth. The move will also significantly ease tax administration. Kvitikashvili also acknowledged that mistakes were made in the process of tightening visa and migration regulations, which went into force September 2014, and that were excesses in bureaucracy. That wrong messages were sent to businesses by introducing non-business-friendly bills. He said that the government would soon present the parliament a bill liberalizing visa requirements, but did not elaborate any details of the planned changes. Kvitikashvili also acknowledged that there were complications in issuing residence permits. In the immediate term, the government will intensify the privatization process from which it expects to raise about $300 million and will help stabilize the lari. Among the state-owned assets, which will be up for sale, Kvitikashvili listed the Georgian Post, which is privatization requires serious preparation, and a quarter of the shares in Telasi, an electricity distribution company in Tbilisi. The rest of the 75% of the shares is owned by the Netherlands-registered Silk Road Holdings, which is a wholly owned Russian state-controlled power trader, subsidiary. The meme this week is a video going around Facebook of an older woman doing Georgian dances on Tbilisi Agmashenebeli Street along with some enthusiastic young men. It's been viewed over 60,000 times. A report by the World Bank on improving Georgia's roads. Another great infographic from Jumpstart Georgia on selective abortions in the South Caucasus. Kiev Post profiles Mamuka Mamulashvili, a guy who's leading the Georgian Legion fighters for Kiev in eastern Ukraine. This is Mamulashvili's fourth war as a volunteer fighting against Russia. The first was when he was a teenager in the Abkhaz conflict. He's a Misha supporter, was the president of Georgia's Mixed Martial Arts Federation, also reportedly has a PhD in international relations from someplace in France. Mamulashvili claims that the current Georgian authorities did not allow the plane carrying the first Georgian fighter killed in the Donbas to land and only gave permission a day later. He said apparently they were asking Putin for authorization over the phone. There's a travel piece by the BBC on Sfanetti. Caucasus Business Week has a post on street art in Georgia, especially Tbilisi has some cool street artists and unique styles. It's a cool article. Take a look at that. Great pictures. Watch a video by a Russian duo called Raka Makafo. They experiment to see if taxi drivers will give a girl who's sick a ride to a nearby hospital for free, and they find that Russian taxi drivers won't, but Georgians are, and people around the Caucasus are quick to help. It's got 1.5 million hits. At the very end, they say, what is it about us Slavs that make us so mistrustful and not want to help people? It's interesting. A blog called Iberieli is trying to get you to Georgia by listing why you shouldn't visit, showing beautiful stuff and saying that it's horrible, sort of sarcastic reverse psychology. This week, CRC looks at Armenians' desire to emigrate. Agenda.ge looks at women in politics in the few years after Georgia's independence from the Russian Empire. It's quite interesting. Georgian Journal interviews notorious separatist fighter in Ukraine, Motorola. All this stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's geo capital number is 21.7. That is how much money transfers to Georgia fell in February 2015 in comparison to February 2014, according to a new report by the National Bank. Every day until the 25th of March, Amidani Cinema will play Home at 4:45 p.m. The nonprofit National English Spelling Competition Georgia, i.e. NESIC GE, is holding the third annual National Spelling Competition for high school students. Local and regional competitions took place all over the country, and 44 students from 11 regions of Georgia will be competing. The competition will take place on the 28th and 29th of March at the Free and Agriculture University in Tbilisi. The venue is the Dihomi University campus number 240, David Agmashinabeli Alley. NESIC GE encourages all friends, families, and community members to come and see these amazing spellers in action. I've seen one of these. Go. They're incredibly fun, and you'll have a good time. For more information about NESIC GE, you can visit their website, which is NESIC, that's N-E-S-C-G-E, .wordpress.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is spielpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. Okay, last week I said it was going to be Spanish gold, but thanks to some copyright Bono Amendment record company BS, that was not meant to be, and instead I played from 2012 Bosaris and The Addict. This time we will end with, from 1983, the Houston, Texas band that I saw in concert at the tender age of 16 in Dallas on their legendary Eliminator tour. This is, from that same glorious year, ZZ Top and Gimme All Your Lovin'.